Good morning. Well, last week we looked at Daniel and his friends who were taken away from their home country, taken to a country that served, worshiped a different God, different culture, different everything. And we saw how Daniel and his friends were able to stand up and say that we want to continue to do what God has convicted us to do, to not eat the meat that's been sacrificed to idols, to have a different diet. We see that God blessed their faithfulness and their willingness to stand up for what they thought was right. And now we're going to see that they're going to go from... Oh, what's the expression? Well, whatever the expression is, but from one disaster to the next. And I was thinking from the flame to the pit, or the pit to the flame, or I don't know. Anyway, Nebuchadnezzar, the king, we're going to find out, what's that? From the pan to the fire? Is that it? Okay, that sounds good. We're going to find out Nebuchadnezzar, he's going to have a demand that's going to put them into grave, grave trouble. And again, they're going to be forced with a choice. What are we going to do? But it's going to be a little bit different because the answer is not going to be so obvious. Sometimes when the answer is so obvious, like for example, this whole gay marriage thing, right? The answer... You can look at God's word, and if you can read, the answer is so obvious. This is not what God wants. Gay marriage is not something that is blessed by God. Jesus says, what God has put together, let no man put asunder. And I can tell you there isn't a gay marriage in heaven. It's so obvious. But sometimes choices aren't so obvious. There's wisdom involved, and we have to figure out what's the right decision, what's the wrong decision. Sometimes it's not so easy to figure out. And that's what Daniel is faced with this morning. Let's start by reading in Daniel chapter 2, verses 1 through 9. It says, now in the second year of Nebuchadnezzar's reign, Nebuchadnezzar had dreams, and his spirit was so troubled that his sleep left him. And the kings gave the command to call the magicians, the astrologers, the sorcerers, and the Chaldeans to tell the king his dreams. So they came and stood before the king, and the king said to them, I have had a dream, and my spirit is anxious to know the dream. Then the Chaldeans spoke to the king in Aramaic, O king, live forever. Tell your servants the dream, and we will give the interpretation. The king answered and said to the Chaldeans, my decision is firm. If you do not make known the dream to me and its interpretation, you shall be cut in pieces, and your houses shall be made an ash heap. However, if you tell the dream and its interpretation, you shall receive from me gifts, rewards, and great honor. Therefore, tell me the dream and its interpretation. They answered again and said, let the king tell his servants the dream, and we will give its interpretation. The king answered and said, I know for certain that you would gain time because you see that my decision is firm. If you do not make known the dream to me, there is only one decree for you. For you have agreed to speak lying and corrupt words before me till the time has changed. And therefore, tell me the dream, and I shall know that you can give me its interpretation. A couple of things to note on this passage. One is, in the beginning it says, now in the second year of Nebuchadnezzar's reign. And that might be thinking, you might be thinking, wait a second, how could it be the second year of Nebuchadnezzar's reign? Because we know in chapter 1 that Daniel and his friends were taken from Jerusalem and were put in a school for 3 years. And that was all under Nebuchadnezzar. So how could he now be in his second reign after 3 years? Well, the best scholarly advice or wisdom or what they think which I think is actually a pretty good explanation. Nebuchadnezzar at first reigned under his father. And he was the one that went out and conquered Jerusalem. And he was the one that brought Daniel and his friends back to Babylon. And then his father ceased reigning, and then he became the sole reigning king. And so this is the second year of his sole reign, whereas before he shared the reign with his father. So take care of that little note-keeping. Also, the other thing is that we see here that the people that the king calls astrologers, sorcerers, Chaldeans, these were basically the king's wise men. These were the people that the king would go to for decisions. And some people say, why did the king require the people to tell his dream? Why didn't they just tell him the dream? Ultimately, we don't know, but a lot of people, and I think it's probably from the text you can kind of tell, we don't think the king knew what the dream was. Have you ever had a dream where you know it's a dream and you're like, I got to remember this when I wake up? Have you ever had that experience? I've had that experience. I got to remember this dream when I wake up. And when you wake up and you can remember maybe bits and pieces of the dream, but you can't really remember the whole thing. Or you start telling the dream and then I was over here and then I was over here. And how did that happen? I don't really remember. And so the king probably knew some of the dream, or maybe he knew bits and pieces, but he didn't know the dream. But he knew that something important had been revealed to him in this dream. He knew it was a very important dream. And being given messages in dreams is not something new. Jacob, of course, met God in a dream, right? He was sleeping and saw a stairway to heaven, and God said that he would be his God, and that happened in a dream. So God spoke to people in dreams throughout the Old Testament. And here we have God is speaking to Nebuchadnezzar and giving him a dream. And now he doesn't really remember the dream, or he may be just testing his people, but I think it's more likely he doesn't really remember the dream. Verse 3 says, "And the king said to them, I have had a dream, and my spirit is anxious to know the dream." Not the interpretation, but the dream itself. So we see that the king's wise men have been called, and they have been asked to this impossible task of telling the dream and the interpretation. The people respond in chapter 2, verse 10. It says, "The Chaldeans answered the king and said, there is not a man on earth who can tell the king's matter. Therefore, no king, lord, or ruler has ever asked such things of any magician, astrologer, or Chaldean. It is a difficult thing that the king requests, and there is no other who can tell it to the king except the gods, whose dwelling is not with the flesh." Understanding of God, they worship many gods. They're pantheistic. And so their understanding of gods is there was gods that, there was man, and then there was gods that spoke between heaven and earth, and then there was gods in heaven that didn't have anything to do with man. And so what they're saying is the only ones who know this is the gods up in heaven, and they don't have anything to do with men. There's nobody here who can tell you what you need to know. And what you are asking is ridiculous. It's impossible. Nobody can figure it out. But the king is set his mind. He wants to know this dream. Isaiah, the prophet, in chapter 8, he says, "And when they say to you," this is God speaking, he's quoting God, "and when they say to you, seek those who are mediums and wizards, who whisper and mutter, should not a people seek their God? Should they seek the dead on behalf of the living? To the law and to the testimony, if they do not speak according to this word, it is because there is no light in them. People go to astrology astrology for words of wisdom. What does my horoscope say today? I'm going to have a good day today. God's word said, if it doesn't have the law and the testimony, if it's not the Bible, there is no light. There's not even a flicker of light. There is no light in it. Jeremiah 9:23 through 24, thus says the Lord, let not the wise man glory in his wisdom, let not the mighty man glory in his might, not let the rich man glory in his riches, but let him who glories glory in this, that he understands and knows me, that I am the Lord, exercising loving kindness, judgment, and righteousness in the earth. For in these I delight, says the Lord. You know, today in the media, we see all these talking heads talking. And they say, we have the answer to all of your problems, to our nation's problems, to whatever problems. The Bible says they don't have anything. They don't have anything. There is no light in them unless what they are speaking is the Word of God. If what they are saying lines up with what God's Word says, then there is light. But if it is not, there is no light in them. Proverbs 2, 1 through 9 says, my son, if you receive my words and treasure my commands within you, so that you incline your ear to wisdom and apply your heart to understanding, yes, if you cry out for discernment and lift up your voice for understanding, if you seek her as silver and search for her as hidden treasures, then you will understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. For the Lord gives wisdom. From His mouth come knowledge and understanding. He stores up sound wisdom for the upright. He is a shield to those who walk uprightly. He guards the paths of justice, and He preserves the way of His saints. And then you will understand righteousness and justice and equity and every good path. You want to understand justice? The cause of justice that our world is so consumed with right now, social justice, it won't be found in the halls of a college, I can tell you that. It is found in God's Word. God defines justice. For more than 30 years, an archaeologist, Howard Carter, searched the deserts of Egypt for something that most people thought did not exist, the tomb of King Tutankhamun. Most experts believed that everything in the Valley of the Kings had already been discovered, but Carter continued his search. Eventually, after 5 more years, so 30 plus 5, an entire lifetime of work, no result. Carter's sponsor, Lord Carnarvon of England, declared that he would stop funding the search. In November of 1922, during his final season of work, Carter uncovered a hidden staircase near the tomb of Ramses VI, and he sent a cable to England which said, at last have made wonderful discovery in valley, a magnificent tomb with seals intact. Carter had indeed located the tomb of King Tut, one of the greatest archaeological treasures ever discovered. After months of careful work, the golden treasures of the tomb were cataloged, and the first intact royal mummy ever found was removed from the place where it had rested for more than 3,000 years. One of the greatest archaeological discoveries, after 35 years of patient faithful searching. Carter's search was driven by his firm belief that there was treasure to be found, though he could not be certain that he was correct. Unlike Carter, we have an absolute guarantee of success, of great reward if we search for the wisdom of God. If we receive God's word, if we cry out for it and seek it as treasure hunters do for precious metals, we will surely find what we seek. You know, it reminds me, there's a hobby, right? Metal detecting, right? You get out there and you go to the beach and you search for things. Search for things that are profitable. You might come across something, oh, that ain't worth nothing. Toss it aside. Sometimes I wonder if we do that with God's word. We misappropriate its value. It's worth more than we could possibly understand. And yet, we don't even take the time to pick it up and look at it. We just brush it aside on our way. Daniel and his friends, they're in trouble. But first we need to look at the difference between man's wisdom and God's wisdom. James 3:13 through 18 says this: Who is wise and understanding among you? How do you know if somebody is wise or not? How do you know which person to listen to on the television? Who is wise and understanding among you? Let him show by good conduct that his works are done in the meekness of wisdom. But if you have bitter envy and self-seeking in your hearts, do not boast and lie against the truth. This wisdom does not descend from above, but is earthly, sensual, and demonic. You see, there's two types of wisdom. The Bible says that if your wisdom is not from God, there is no light in it. But that doesn't mean it doesn't exist. There is a wisdom of this earth. And we see it on television every day. It is sensual, earthly, and it is demonic. It is of the devil himself. And we think about the plagues, right? When Moses came before Pharaoh, some of those plagues, Pharaoh's own men were able to duplicate. They were able to do that with their own magic, with their own sorcery. Aaron put his stick on the ground, it turned into a snake. They put their sticks on the ground, it turned into a snake. And then Aaron's snake swallowed up all their snakes. God's wisdom is better than the world's wisdom, but there is a wisdom of this age. And we have to be very careful. The end of it is death. And we see in our country today, it is ran by the wisdom of this world. Because the fruit of it is so disgusting. For where envy and self-seeking exist, confusion and every evil thing are there. But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, and then peaceable, gentle, willing to yield, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. Now the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace. I hope you can look at two different people from this passage and say, where is their wisdom found? Daniel and his friends are in a troubling situation. Chapter 2 says, For this reason the king was angry and very furious, and he gave the command to destroy all the wise men of Babylon. And so the decree went out, and they began killing the wise men, and they sought Daniel and his companions to kill them. Daniel's in trouble. We'll find out here in a minute. He doesn't even realize it. But where do you go for wisdom when you're in trouble? When you need to make an important decision, something is bearing down on you and you don't know what to do, where do you turn? Because we all turn somewhere. It might be to a family member. It might be to a friend. And the Bible says that good advice or wisdom is found in a multitude of counselors. But we must turn to God's Word. Our source of wisdom must be found in God. And that is where Daniel turns. He turns to God to find the answer to his problems. It says, Then with the counsel and wisdom, Daniel answered Arioch, the captain of the king's guard, who had gone out to kill the wise men of Babylon. He answered and said to Arioch, the king's captain, "Why is the decree of the king so urgent?" And then Arioch made the decision known to Daniel. Daniel didn't even know what was going on. Daniel was just a foreigner. He wasn't one of the king's wise men. He was in training. He was a newbie, green behind the ears. And yet he's being rounded up to be killed. And Daniel's like, "What in the world is going on here?" And so, of course, we know from Daniel 1 that God had given favor to Daniel. And so the captain of the king's guard, who's rounding all these people up to be killed, tells Daniel what's going on. And so Daniel went in and asked the king to give him time. Now he did not go directly into the king and said, "Hey, buddy, can I have a few?" No, that's not how it worked. He went in through somebody who had access to the king to ask for time so that they could tell him the interpretation. So Daniel went in and asked the king to give him time that he might tell the king the interpretation. Then Daniel went to his house, made the decision known to Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, his companions, that they might seek the mercies from God, the God of heaven, concerning this secret, so that Daniel and his companions might not perish with the rest of the wise men of Babylon. We see here a couple of things here. One is, Daniel saw the power of uniting in prayer. Daniel could have just kept this to himself, went home, prayed, and asked God. But he said, no, there is value in all of us, all of those who are faithful, all those who are righteous. The effective prayer of a righteous man availeth much, but where two or three are gathered in my name, I am there. And so Daniel, he rallied his prayer warriors, three. And he said, we need to ask God for mercy. James 1:5 says, if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all liberally without reproach, and it will be given to him. Romans 12:12 says, rejoice in hope, patient in tribulation, continually steadfastly in prayer. The other thing interesting here is they sought mercy. You know, you might think they were a little bit high off this whole, you know, we took down the whole king's dietary plan with our little stunt there, right? They could be, we're really something, you know. They're going to have to change their whole entire plan because of us. That's not how they were. They weren't arrogant because of God's mercy that he'd already shown to them. No, they went back and said, God, please be merciful to us. They sought God's mercy. And Hebrews 4:16 says, let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. The Bible says that when we are in need, we can go to God and ask Him for help. That's what He wants us to do. He wants us to come to Him and depend upon Him for our help. And we see that Daniel then receives the secret. He receives the revelation from God. Verse 19 says, the secret was revealed to Daniel in a night vision, and so Daniel blessed the God of heaven. How valuable is wisdom to you? How valuable is wisdom? In May of 2012, a 32-carat Burmese ruby and a diamond ring was part of a collection of Lily Safra, one of the richest women in the world, was sold at auction, and the pre-auction estimate was for $3 to $5 million for this diamond ring with a big, huge ruby on it. But the final sale price ended up at $6.7 million. It is believed the most expensive ruby ever sold. And the Bible says that as valuable as rubies are, wisdom is far better than rubies. More valuable. No earthly treasure can compare to wisdom, because nothing else offers the same protection, benefits, and blessings that wisdom does. Proverbs 8:11 says, "Wisdom is better than rubies, and all the things one may desire cannot be compared with her." Then finally, we see that Daniel goes in, he praises God, he shares the wisdom to the king, and the king then praises God as well. Daniel answered and said, "Blessed be the name of God forever and ever, for wisdom and might are His. He changes the times and the seasons. He removes kings and raises up kings. He gives wisdom to the wise and knowledge to those who have understanding. He reveals the deep and secret things. He knows what is in the darkness, and light dwells with Him. I thank You and praise You, O God of my fathers. You have given me wisdom and might, and have now made known to me what we asked of You, for You have made known to us the king's demands." God is the one who has the answers to our problems. He knows everything. Daniel went in and shared the wisdom with the king, and of course we know the dream was about the great image with the head of gold and then silver and then bronze and then clay and iron mixed together that stood for the kingdoms. And unfortunately we don't have time to go into all that. But God had given, Nebuchadnezzar was laying on his bed thinking about what is going to come to pass. And Daniel tells Nebuchadnezzar, God just wanted to give you the answer to your question. And so He gave you that dream. Isn't that amazing? Isn't our God awesome? A pagan king, one of the greatest kings of all time, sitting there lying on his bed, not serving God, not worshiping God, but God is in control. God knows his heart. God knows who he is. He is serving at God's will. And he's sitting there lying in his bed just thinking, I wonder what's going to happen after this is gone. And God said, oh, I just wanted to give you the answer. And he has this dream and he forgets it. And so then God has his man come up and say, here's the answer, here's what's going to happen. And we know from history exactly what Daniel has said is exactly what happened. And so Nebuchadnezzar, King Nebuchadnezzar, fell on his face, prostrate before Daniel, and commanded that they should present an offering and an incense to him. And it looks like Daniel said, I don't think so. So Daniel answered, or the king answered Daniel and said, truly your God is the God of gods, the Lord of kings, and a revealer of secrets. Since you could reveal this secret. And the king promoted Daniel and gave him many gifts, and he made him ruler over the whole province of Babylon, the chief administrator over the wise men of Babylon. Also, Daniel petitioned the king, and he set Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego over the affairs of the province of Babylon, but Daniel sat in the gate of the king. When trouble comes to your life, we have two choices. We can run and hide, or we can stand firm and rely on God's power. And we say, I don't know why this is happening, and we might not ever. But as long as it is happening, I will stand firm on the wisdom of this book. And I will search it, and I will find the answers that I need for my life. Because the law of the Lord is perfect, reviving the soul. It's got everything that we need to know to live our lives. Let's pray. Dear gracious Heavenly Father, Lord, you were so good to Daniel and his friends. Lord, through adversity, you raised him up into a leader of men. In a foreign country, in a godless country, where they worship many gods, but not the true one. Because of his willingness, Daniel's willingness to stand on your word, Lord, you raised him up, and the king, the greatest king in the world, bowed a knee to you. Lord, what you have planned for us in this building, we do not know. But Lord, that we would be faithful. We would have the faith of Daniel to stand on your word, to seek your wisdom and not our own. Lord, from the smallest detail to the most important, Lord, we must hold fast to your truth and abandon all else. Lord, as we look at this country, it is so in need of wisdom. It is searching for truth and understanding, but it is looking in all the wrong places. It is looking in places that do not have any wisdom, no understanding. It's just lies upon lies. Lord, give us the strength of character to stand up for what is true, for what is right, and to be faithful to our dying day to follow you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.